Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 20th day of December 2023. And I'm absolutely thrilled once again to have on the program a returning guest who is now a regularly featured guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every month. His name is David Reese. He is the pastor of Puritan Reformed Church in Phoenix, Arizona, and he's also the CEO of Armored Republic. And today we're going to be talking about an important issue, an issue that typically those on the left wing of society hate to hear Christians discuss and to reveal as a part of their worldview. And it's even an issue that divides evangelicals as to the extent of what we're talking about today. We are talking about dominion. And if you have a question about dominion for Pastor Reese, you can send in your emails to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least. City and state and country of residence only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor David Reese.
Brother, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here. I'm hopeful that this will be informative, but also a very practical discussion that helps people to think about how to increase their dominion and how to honor the Lord with their ordinary work.
Amen. Well, once again, for the sake of those who have not yet heard you on this program or elsewhere, please describe for our listeners Puritan Reformed Church of Phoenix, Arizona.
Puritan Reformed Church is a church that is committed to the teaching of Scripture, and we seek to honor the Lord by recognizing the limited scope of authority that the church has been given, and that is to teach doctrine according to the Word of God, to lead the people of God in worship only in those things that God has instituted in His Word, and to not add to it or subtract from it in the worship of God. And then furthermore, to see that church government uses its authority in the limited and proper ways that have been delegated to it by the King of the Church, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that would be to see church government properly exercised with proper discipline, and to not cower away from doing that, but also to not add human authority with a bunch of invented offices or a bunch of invented powers or functions. So that idea, that's the name Puritan. It's about applying sola scriptura to the doctrine, worship, and government of the church, and seeking to show the form that God has given in His Word for all those things.
And by the way, I have the print of the painting that you have on your website, which is puritanphx.com for our listeners, puritanphx, which is an abbreviation for Phoenix. I have that historic scene from the Westminster Assembly hanging on my living room wall, the print, that is, not the original artwork. And it's a
wonderful.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Is that the one where the Congregationalists are standing up to object?
Yes.
That's great.
It is a classic image from the Westminster Assembly. Well, also, please tell us about your company where you are CEO, Armored Republic.
Yeah, so Armored Republic is dedicated to the cause of creating tools of liberty to provide free men with what they need to resist tyrants and criminals, to defend their God-given rights to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we view body armor as a tool of liberty, and our goal is to make that affordable and make it excellent. We have really great plate carriers. So body armor doesn't just come and, like, you know, attached to your body with duct tape. You have these, you know, tactical vests, and those are called plate carriers. And then the armor itself is sold as what are, you know, plates of body armor, and those go in there into the plate carrier. And so we have excellent designs for both. And we have all sorts of neat products that we have tried to pull together to make it so that we have things that are available for all sorts of different situations. And so every type of body armor we manufacture, and we have a really neat plate that we have organized material in a way that's unique, and that is called the A3, and it's a great plate that is light, 4.6 pounds, and is also able to stop all of the threats that you really want it to be able to. It's if you're concerned about tyranny, it's a good one for stopping the basic rounds that you'd expect have to deal with. And again, so that's the A3 plate. I'd encourage people to check that out as a good tyranny resistor.
Amen. If anybody wants to find out more about Armored Republic, go to armoredrepublic.com, armoredrepublic.com. And please remember, Pastor Reese, after we're off the air, remember to have a brief conversation with me on exactly the specific information you want me to send my nephew about Armored Republic. My nephew, I'll give him a free plug today. He is the owner of Arnzen Arms in Minnesota, and I'll even plug his website, arnzenarms.com, and it is a guns and ammo store in Minnesota. So anyway, if you could remember to bring that up when we're off the air, I would love to pass on the details to my nephew.
Wonderful. I have it listed here on my notes, so I'll do my best to make sure we can do that. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, we are talking about an issue today that I already mentioned. It's something that liberals and leftists, when they hear us discuss something like this, they cringe and recoil with revulsion and horror. And even many evangelicals today want to relegate a lot of things that appear in the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. They want to keep it there in the Old Covenant. Many evangelicals don't want us to bring forward things into the New Covenant that many Reformed Christians firmly believe belong in the New Covenant as well as the Old. And of course, we don't believe everything should be moved forward. We don't believe in Judaizing. But if you could explain to our audience with a working definition of what is dominion.
Yeah, so dominion, when we think about what dominion is, there's sort of two ways we could think about it. One is thinking about dominion in itself, and the other one would be dominion in terms of its use or the exercise of it. And so dominion by itself is just a way of talking about authority, right? So authority is the right to do something. When you have property in your possession that you have authority over, you are simply exercising lawful possession. If you have, if you're exercising, you know, power or possession over property that you don't have the authority to have, that's called theft, right? So God owns everything. And when we think about dominion at a basic level, dominion is the authority that God has delegated to man that man can use to exercise power over the creation. And so what have we been given dominion over is one of the big questions that has to be considered. And I think when people recoil at hearing the term dominion, oftentimes it's because they misunderstand what the term means. And so we talk about dominion, again, it's authority, and the exercise of dominion is the use of that authority to use power. And so the power to control things, to govern things, and we realize that God owns everything. So that issue of, you know, what do we have lawful authority to use and to exercise power over?
And of course, one of the reasons that immediately comes to mind where many leftists get infuriated over this concept is when we start to discuss man's mandate to have dominion over creation, or the mandate to man. And so you all have environmentalists, and perhaps even some evangelicals who are environmentalists. And I'm not against environmentalism, but when it's taken to the extreme where the creature is worshipped rather than God, and where creation, the wildlife, animals, plant life, and so on have a priority over the benefits of humankind, that's where it gets into lunacy and destructive worldviews. But am I making sense there?
Absolutely. No, and I agree with you. And I think, you know, you're saying the word, you know, environmentalism. It's sort of like, well, if by environmentalism we mean we need to exercise our dominion to effectively use and preserve the value of resources that God has given to us and even increase their value, then sure. But if by environmentalism we mean, do we think that animals have certain rights that humans have to respect? No. The only thing that we need to worry about is God's law there. So you don't want to have unnecessary harm of animals where you're just being cruel to them. The Bible says that the righteous man is kind even to his beast, but that the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. And so we don't want to just, like, for example, hurt animals, but, you know, we can kill animals to eat them, and we can make use of them, and we can use animals for labor and all that. And so that's a part of the dominion mandate is that. And so that idea that, you know, we don't worship the environment, we don't serve the environment. The environment is for man. And I think that that distinction, that we want to be good stewards, but being good stewards means making use of the dominion to the glory of God, not serving the environment as though it were somehow the thing that we owe service to.
Amen. And we should never forget that God commanded in the Hebrew Scriptures that even the animals were to have a Sabbath rest, and were not to be forced to labor on the Sabbath. And one interesting thing that I always find fascinating is, and in fact, I don't think I've ever heard anybody in a sermon or otherwise bring up this when they talk about Nathan the prophet revealing to David his crimes of adultery and having Bathsheba's husband Uriah the Hittite murdered on the battlefield. When Nathan brings up the story of the man who has a lamb that he is raising as if it was his child, and it would eat, you know, right at his table with him and so on. And then the rich man steals that lamb and kills it and cooks it for guests that he's having over his home. When David is horrified by that story, Nathan says, "You are the man." And I find it interesting because it does two things at the same time. It not only, I think, uses the illustration of an animal that is being wrongly treated because it was not the possession of the person who killed it and cooked it, and also revealed that the man loved this lamb as a pet, proving that the typical instinctive reaction to an animal being treated cruelly is almost universal, unless you're a complete sadist of some kind. And it's those, therefore, Nathan knew that that story would get raise the ire of David and you know, raise anger up in his heart and mind, not realizing that the story was supposed to picture him at first. But it also shows you how David was more concerned over an animal than the human life of Uriah the Hittite. So I just thought I'd throw that out there because I've never heard anybody address that aspect of the story in a sermon or elsewhere.
Yeah, no, I think that the fact that there's this interesting presentation of a pet, like you said, I think that's right. One of the great things that you just expressed is that there's this kind of pet relationship. And that seems to be, sort of an example, you know, the kindness towards some animal in a way where it is a pet that's not just for utility, but it's the pleasure of being able to simply treat something kindly and to enjoy its, you know, favorable disposition toward us. And that's sort of a part of the, you know, the creature comforts of life, is this ability to train and care for animals in such a way as to simply be sort of an ornament, and a part of our, you know, the ornamentation of our life. And I think that idea that there's a prize animal, so to speak. And so the response that David gives is for the guy to be put to death.
Right.
And for the property to be restored fourfold, in terms of, you know, four lambs to replace the lamb that was taken. And that's in 2 Samuel 12, mm-hmm. verses 5 and 6. And so, you know, the property aspect is dealt with the fact that he demands that the man restore fourfold. But then, you know, why execute the man? Well, I think the idea is this guy has acted with premeditation in a cruel way to mm-hmm. oppress the poor.
Right.
And so it's sort of an indicator that this guy is a recidivist criminal. And so this sort of this principle, here's a recidivist criminal. He is cruel. He is oppressing the poor, using his power to abuse the poor man, take his pet. And so there's the property element as well as the sort of oppression and the recidivism there. And so the, you know, David's response, and you mentioned the fact that David, you know, has more compassion about this animal and about the man having his lamb taken. But in comparison, right, he has stolen a wife, which is, you know, far right. more valuable, right? And then also has not only done that, but then also taken away the man's life, you know, in the murdering of him, right? So that condemnation of himself is such a powerful thing. God is amazing in the way that he traps us in our own consciences.
Yes.
To show our inexcusability. And I think that story that you gave is such a powerful one for showing us the responsibility we have. And, you know, David having authority as a king, he had dominion, he had authority in a special way in one of the four, you know, institutions that God has granted dominion in. And one of those is the state. And that's the last one to be instituted. And so when we think about the origination of dominion, you know, the first giving of dominion goes all the way back to Genesis 1. And so at the end of chapter 1 of Genesis, we have this statement that God has made man in his image, which is rationality. But then furthermore, on the not that dominion is a part of the image, but dominion is based on the fact that man is rational. So you can't have dominion, you can't exercise authority unless you are rational. And so animals, for example, can't really have dominion. They can't have authority. They're not rational beings. They can't be they can't exercise a rational rule. And so when we get to Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, let man have dominion. And then it lists all the animals, right? It says over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle. And it talks about being over the earth, and over all the creeping things. And so this is followed by a command for kind of a goal. And that is verse 28. It says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So our rule over the beasts is in order to fill the earth and to subdue it. And so the subduing of the earth is the exercise of this dominion grant. And that dominion grant is a grant where we are supposed to make use of the earth and everything in it. And we're supposed to use the creation in order to increase the number of humans in the earth and make the earth a habitation suitable for humanity. So habitat for humanity, you might say, is sort of, you know, that mission. And then furthermore, we are supposed to fill the earth with humans, with this subdued habitat. But the filling of the earth is in order that man, as the image of God, that the image of God would fill the earth. And that image of God, when properly formed, includes the knowledge of God. And so when we have the corruption of our natures from the fall, there's a corruption of the image, and we're being renewed after the image of Christ in knowledge, holiness, and righteousness. And so the knowledge of God fills the earth as the waters cover the sea, as people fill the earth, and as those people are taught the knowledge of God. And so dominion before the fall was given for the filling of the earth with humans and the filling of those humans with the knowledge of God. And that would be how God's glory fills the earth. And that can be manifested also in terms of the way that man orders the physical creation. And we see that, for example, in the book of Zechariah, it talks about how even the bells that are on beasts, like a horse might have a bell on it so you can hear it if it gets away, or cattle might, and that they're going to say, "Holy unto the Lord." And that's what would be written on, for example, the turban of the high priest in the temple in the Old Covenant era. And so the idea that there's going to be a moral rule, a moral reign, a dominion exercise that takes things out in extraordinary detail as human dominion and economic capabilities and knowledge increases, so that we can see the law of God imposed on everything. So that everything, every little piece of culture manifests the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth. And so that's what dominion's goal is to show, to display the glory of God in human culture as we rule nature, right? So we rule the natural order, and we have sort of the garden get expanded out to replace wilderness. And we also see the garden advanced to become city. So when we get to the book of Revelation, you have the heavenly Jerusalem as this sort of garden city. And so we want to go from a small plot of garden to garden filling the earth, and from garden to garden city. So there's this beautiful artifice and nature in harmony for man's habitat, so that God can be known throughout the earth, and the knowledge of God fills man, and so that there is a depth and breadth of the knowledge of God, and that's manifested in the artifacts where culture is, these little captured points, these artifacts of culture, where there's a display of God's glory with the word written on it and with the beauty of it and the excellency of it, all down to the little trinkets like the bells on animals, so that you can hear them when they walk too far away.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break. If anybody wants to join us with a question of your own, once again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique Christmas gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. And look for their upcoming Cyber Monday sales. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com loves Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that they are offering this mind-blowing opportunity that is still being offered to us, where we will receive 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase. So whether it's a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at royaldiadem.com, or if you're having something customized like an engagement ring or any other kind of custom design piece of jewelry, we will get 100% of the profits if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you have any intention on getting something custom designed by Valentine's Day, I would say that you should definitely get on the phone immediately and call or visit the website of royaldiadem.com and get that ball rolling. And of course, we want you to get the ball rolling either for purchasing jewelry they already have in stock or for custom design jewelry, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer to us where Iron Sharpens Iron Radio gets 100% of the profits from any sale. So please go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with David Reese, pastor of Puritan Reformed Church in Phoenix, Arizona, and CEO of Armored Republic. We are discussing dominion, and if you have a question for Pastor Reese, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Always give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, such as you disagree with your own pastors or your own congregation or denomination over something that we're addressing today, and you obviously don't want to bring attention to your identity at this point in time, or something else that would compel you to remain anonymous. But please, if it's just general, the question, if it's just a general question, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And before I go to any listener questions, Pastor David, if you could continue with some of these aspects of dominion that you want to highlight in the discussion today.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chris. So the assumption of continuity is one of the things you brought up, that when we look at the scriptures, should we look at the scriptures and say, you know, every time something new is said or when there's any transition point, should we just assume that everything that was said before is now ended? Or do we realize that there's certain things that carry through? And so what I want to posit for an important part of how we interpret the scriptures is that when God gives a command, if God says jump, you know, we keep jumping until He says stop. And so the idea that He has given us authority over the earth and over the animals and over the physical creation, and that somehow has ended, would rely upon either a teaching of scripture that that has stopped, or it would rely upon an assumption that somehow the powers granted to Adam were taken away. And so when we look at the grant of authority, this is done in that first grant of authority covenant that God gives to Adam in the garden. But what we see is actually there's this sort of continual adding of authority that is given throughout time. And the authority that we have in the new covenant is greater than the authority that was given in the old covenant. And so this kind of constructing that occurs when we see in the garden, in the covenant of works that's given, where Adam is given authority. We then see the first giving of the gospel in Genesis 3, that there is a giving of a of authority that in terms of how to worship God properly in that context. We then see, for example, Noah being given authority in the state. So we have the individual, the household, the church, and the state are the four institutions that where God gives authority. And we see the creation of the household that's given. And we have marriage being created in Genesis 2 when there's the giving of Eve to Adam. We also see that implicitly in Genesis 1 that there's male and female. And so we have this grant of authority to the individual, grant of authority to the household. We have grant of authority to the church, and then we have the grant of authority to the state. And all of those things are places where we see authority given. And so what I want to emphasize is individual rule and household rule is where so much power and influence occurs. And everybody wants to talk about the state and the civil authority, and everybody wants to focus on that. But there's a real diminishing of the authority of the church, the household, and the individual. And so I want to emphasize that dominion is principally about this managerial authority that God has given to us to manage ourselves and to manage things around us. And so dominion, you could also just kind of talk about the sense of like the management authority or the stewardship authority that's been given. And so I want to encourage the Christian listener that the image of God is rationality, and that manifests itself in knowledge, holiness, and righteousness. And so we want to have good thought content, knowledge. We want to have good goals, holiness. And we want to have good choices, righteousness. And so the law of God teaches us how to exercise dominion well. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the leading not into temptation is we're asking God to help us to put our lives in order, the world around us in order, our time, our bodies, the property that we possess, the skill development we have, this idea that we're removing temptations and instead setting things up so that we have encouragements to do what's good. And we pray that God would deliver us from evil. We're asking him to remove the power of sin as well as the rule of Satan. If we were bound underneath slavery to Satan, we'd be asking that we would be removed from that and also from the world, the oppression of the world. And so this idea that we manage ourselves well. And so I want to point people to this idea that we have been given a management mandate. We've been given a dominion mandate to manage ourselves and our households well. And we look at the law of God, and it teaches us about how to govern our minds, how to govern our bodies, how to govern our relationships, and all that kind of stuff. And one simple example, when we think about time, time, we are in the very creation. God has 6 days of working and then rests, and he gives a blessing and calls that day holy. And so he gives this example of rest. And then in the Ten Commandments, there's the fourth commandment with the commandment to rest, appealing back to that example. And there's this idea that we have 6 days to work on. And so in a basic time structure, one of the management keys that God has given to us to rule ourselves and to rule things around us well, including the people who are under our authority, is to recognize that we should find 6 days for our ordinary work and recreation, and we should schedule that out, and we need to devote one out of 7 days, the Lord's Day in the New Covenant era, the first day of the week. We devote that to the people of God, to ministry, to the worship of God, to works of necessity and mercy. And so that focus of time is one of the key elements for exercising our dominion, knowing that the Lord has shown us how to pattern time. And so this structure to realize that we have 6 days for our ordinary dominion work and that one day for that rest and the focusing of the feasting on the word of God is key for us to know how to rule ourselves and to rule our time. And so I want to suggest that productivity systems that ignore that are going against the law order of God. And so we look at the first four commandments, and the first commandment teaches us what we should worship, that there's no other gods that we should have but the true God. But it also shows us the goal of glorifying God as the highest good. The second commandment says to take the means that God has appointed for his worship and to use those so we can order our minds by them. We should use the word and not look at idols to get knowledge of God, for example. And the third commandment is about the proper attitude, that we use his name in a way that encourages our affections to be properly ordered. And so there's this setting of our affections properly, and then the ordering of our time. And the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, work 6 days, rest one. And that idea, those first four commandments help us to understand how to direct ourselves on the key purpose of glorifying God, knowing what we're to worship, how we're to worship, with what attitude, so that our affections are properly shaped, and then forming of time. And when we look at the 6 days besides the Lord's Day as days for dominion, ordinary dominion work, and we think about our recreation as being a part of that, it helps us to think about how to properly set in place the rest of the rhythms there. And God has given us morning and evening. He's given to us night as a divider of days so we can also see things. And so part of our creatureliness in terms of what we're supposed to manage is to recognize that we have to number our days and realize the limits that we have in terms of the resources that are available to us. And time is the great limiter there. And how we properly order the division of our time so that we can have proper proportions is something that God gives us wisdom that Christians have that the world does not, that makes it so that we can better manage ourselves. And he gives promises, for example, in the book of Isaiah, that if we call the Sabbath a delight, that we will ride the high places of the earth. In other words, that we will be given increased dominion. And so this idea of a increase of dominion that we might think, oh, if we have one day devoted to the rest, to worship God, then, you know, we're going to have less days than other people to do the stuff that we want to do and the stuff that we need to rule the world. And God says, no, take this time, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness imputed to us, Christ's righteousness imputed to us by faith alone, and make that the priority. And then he gives the other blessings. And so that's one of the key principles of dominion I want to give, is that everybody understands that we have been given authority in order to glorify God, and setting our time in proper order and accepting the rhythms of morning and evening, accepting the rhythm of the Sabbath, and using worship on the Sabbath and the idea of private worship in the morning and household worship in the evening, or you could flip those so you have the day bookended by the worship of God. Those are the key things that set the rhythm of life and make it so that then we can devote our labor in between those worships to God for his glory.
Okay, we do have a listener named Goldie in Dana Point, California. And Goldie asks, I hope this is not too much off topic, but I was wondering what the difference is between theonomy and Christian Reconstruction and what has been called dominion theology. Is there a difference? And do you espouse any of these ideologies?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So dominion theology is normally where you take the dominion mandate and somehow include in the original dominion mandate back in Genesis chapter 1, the one that we read earlier on. And, you know, it's very plain that that text gives man authority over the animals and over the space and over the physical matter, but it does not grant any authority over other human beings. And so when some people try to take the dominion mandate and turn it into a mandate for Christians to rule over non-Christians, which is not contained in that passage. In fact, that passage back in Genesis 1 has no grant of authority of any human being over any other human being. The closest thing you could find to any sort of grant of authority there would be implicit in the nature of property, where you could, by voluntary exchange, hire people to do work. And if they accept the money by voluntary exchange, then they'd be a wage servant and they would be able to exchange their time for work, which is a sort of submission. But that's different. That's a voluntary exchange. And we're used to that in kind of the capitalist order that's established by the Eighth Commandment. On the other hand, the assertion that the dominion mandate gives human beings authority over other human beings, that's wrong from that text. But we do see that there are grants of authority in the household later on in Genesis 2. And we see in the church, we see the first excommunication that occurs, for example, in Genesis 4. And then we see the state with the use of the sword in Genesis 9. And so when we have those three institutions, the household, the church, and the state, we see that there is some sort of dominion. There's an authority granted of some human beings over other human beings, but it's not on the mere basis of being a Christian. And so what we need to understand is that lawful authorities in those institutions is something that is a grant of authority. It's a granted dominion, but dominion theology is typically trying to lump all of those institutions back into the dominion mandate back in Genesis 1. So I think that's a significant error, because what you end up doing is you end up treating subjects like property. You end up treating sons and daughters and wives as sort of property. And in the church, a pastor might be tempted to treat the congregants like property, and as opposed to a very careful granting of authority in each of the institutions distinctly. So when we talk about theonomy, theonomy is the combination of two words, theos, which means God, and in Greek, and namas, which means law, and theonomy is God's law, as it's normally contrasted with autonomy, which is autos, self, and namas, law, so a law unto yourself. And what happened in the garden when Satan tempted Eve is he said, you know, hey, you can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you'll be as God. You'll be a law unto yourself. In other words, you'll be the definer of what's good and evil, as opposed to the creature who's subject to the definer of good and evil, which is God. And so theonomy is an assertion of the authority of God, and typically it would be applied to every area of life, all of the institutions. But typically when we say theonomy, people are talking about the application of law to the state, so God's revealed law to the state. And then you're going to argue over the details. Now, I believe that Caesar is subject to Christ. And so I believe that the law of God is what grants Caesar authority and what defines Caesar's authority. And that when Caesar goes beyond what Christ has given him authority to do, that he is a usurper. And rather than a minister of Christ, he's a rebel. And so I believe in the limitation of the state based upon the law of God, and that the Old Testament gives us principles of justice that are applicable to every nation and not just Israel. So that's typically how it would be called, the principle of general equity, where the law of God has principles for every nation. And so sometimes that might just be called theonomy or general equity principle or general equity theonomy, whatever you want to call that. So I'm certainly that. And then as far as Reconstruction, typically you're going to say, hey, Reconstruction is a view and that has sort of this view of the covenant institutions as being things that need to be reformed or rebuilt, reconstructed according to the law of God. And there are going to be different views of how that should be done. But on a basic level, yeah, I absolutely agree that all the institutions, the individual, the household, the church, and the state should all be reformed, reconstructed in accordance with the commandments that God has given, as opposed to some sort of, you know, will of man or the general will of the population to make them after the image of man. Instead, all the institutions are given and defined by God that have actual authority. Everything else is a voluntary association that people can leave whenever they want. But household is established by a covenant, and you shouldn't just divorce your spouse without just cause, and you shouldn't disinherit children without just cause, and all that kind of stuff. And the same with the church, you shouldn't kick people out without just cause. And with the state, you shouldn't exercise criminal penalties without just cause. So there's not just voluntary associations. Those are covenant institutions with real authority that people don't just, you know, join voluntarily and leave voluntarily. They have duties where they're bound to each other unless there's just cause for separation. And so that would be sort of the way that we might look at those terms in terms of dominion, dominion theology, theonomy, and also reconstruction. And hopefully those definitions help to make the connections between them clear. And I would typically try to avoid the label dominion theology because I think it's the most likely to be viewed in a way that's misunderstood and is most likely to be associated with a view that men inherently have authority over other men, as opposed to viewing a theonomic and reconstructionist type of viewpoint where you're saying that, hey, we have institutional authority as defined by God's law in the correct places, and those have limits, and we need to reform them according to the word of God alone.
Amen. And by the way, folks, there are quite a number of my listeners who think that I am a theonomist because I have many theonomists on my program that I love interviewing. I'm studying through the issue, but I am not currently a theonomist. But the thing that angers me is that there are so many non-theonomists out there, even amongst Reformed Christians, who really slander theonomists because they're speaking without knowledge. They're inaccurately presuming certain things about theonomists that no theonomist is saying, even to the point where some, even amongst our Reformed brethren, accuse theonomists of somehow salvation by law-keeping, and some of those same accusations would be hurled against anybody believing in covenant theology in general, and these are slanderous, false descriptions. And, you know, I have no problem with brothers in Christ disagreeing and critiquing things, but you've got to use truth when you do these things. I have dispensationalists on this program. I have amillennialists on this program. I have postmillennialists on this program. And when we disagree with one another, we are never to bear false witness against anyone. So we have to make sure that we are not doing that. Now, just out of curiosity, before we go to the midway break, Would the dominion theology that you described, over which you disagree, would that be the same kind of dominion theology that many of us heard about in the 80s and 90s, maybe specifically, that a lot of Pentecostals were beginning to embrace? I believe that some have identified Pat Robertson with dominion theology, but if you could, if you have any knowledge of that area, give your 2 cents on that.
Yeah, so my understanding is that kind of popular use of the term was not really all necessarily that well defined. And sometimes it would sort of just be, hey, dominion theology means we need to exercise dominion and build godly culture. In other places, it might be, hey, we need to use we need to use authority over people who aren't Christian just because they're not Christian, which I disagree with. And what we need to do is, and you might even call down like, hey, there might be a mixture sometimes with something like a sort of a Pentecostal calling of supernatural powers, or you might have sort of, you know, this kind of like word of faith type of mixture in where you claim to have the power by calling on something to make it happen, or calling on God to kind of destroy your enemies or whatever. It's kind of mixed in sometimes with imprecations and other things. And so I think it's a proper use of the imprecations in the Psalms, but we don't know if a person is elect or reprobate. And so we call in general sense for God to cause people to repent or to defeat them, right? And so one or the other, we leave it to God, and that's generally how that's to be dealt with. And so when we look at dominion theology in the form that I was talking about, for example, Gary North has a commentary where he talks about Joseph exercising authority over the Egyptians and taking their property with the dream with Pharaoh and everything, and talking about that kind of imposition of the state authority there, and he justified it on the grounds that the people were pagan. And so I don't think that's legitimate. I think the state has to respect people's rights, whether they are pagan or whether they're Christian. And so excessive taxation is unlawful for a Christian government to impose on non-Christians, for example. So there are God-given rights on image bearers that the state has a duty to protect. And so that would be an example in that commentary that Gary North had put out, where he talked about Joseph. And I can't remember the exact book, but I could find it. So that's an example of what I'm talking about that I would disagree with as an application there.
Okay, we are going to our midway break right now. And as always, folks, please be patient with us when we go to our midway break, especially because it is a little longer than the other breaks, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to geographically localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, where Grace Life Radio is located. So they do that while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Please contact as many of our advertisers as you can, at the very least to thank them for sponsoring the show. And of course, send in your questions via email to our guest, David Reese, to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it.
We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com is still experiencing a serious sales slump, and I'm hoping that many of my listeners will come to the rescue and begin purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com if you've never purchased from them before. And if you are already a regular customer of solid-ground-books.com, that you make your largest purchase ever today if you can afford to do so. When one of my advertisers is experiencing a financial difficulty, that is something that makes us feel very uncomfortable here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So we're hoping that you will help reverse this situation by God's grace so that we can depend upon solid-ground-books.com for a long time to come in supporting this ministry through their advertising dollars. And of course, please keep in mind that you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy. You're going to be doing it yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and also publish for the first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our modern day, including such current authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Visit that site frequently, purchase generously, always mention you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And before we return to my conversation on Dominion with Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed Church in Phoenix, Arizona, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. Please, folks, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And you could donate using your debit or credit card if you prefer snail mail. There will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise, as long as you, whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Always remember, I never want anybody listening to cut into the finances that they have set aside for their Lord's Day giving in order to bless us financially. In other words, don't give your own church less money than you normally give your church in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The Bible's very clear that our finances are primarily to be used to support our church and our family. And supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to support church and family, I'm asking you to please send us some of that extra money that with which you are blessed for recreational, trivial, and benevolent purposes. Please share some of that money with us if you want us to continue to exist. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Bible-believing, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like a Puritan Reformed Church in Phoenix, Arizona, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of Christ-honoring, biblically sound churches, and I may be able to help you, no matter where in the world you live, as I have done with many people in our audience worldwide, find a church, sometimes even within just minutes from where you live. So send me an email if you're in that predicament to chrisaronson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in your questions to Pastor David Reese on Dominion. That's chrisaronson@gmail.com. And it was just occurring to me, Pastor David, that non-Christians and even anti-Christians who are leftists, if they were to dare scoff at your embracing what is known as Christian Reconstructionism, they are all Reconstructionists, but of a sinister kind. They definitely want to reconstruct every realm of humanity and society that is built upon a leftist tyranny. They want to enforce their worldview on people. They want to really remove freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and so on. So isn't this a bit of a hypocrisy going on here when you have leftists decrying any Christian who is a Reconstructionist?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point, Chris. And I think that one of the issues is, frankly, just what's the blueprint we're following in terms of the type of society we're trying to build? Are we following the blueprints that are given to us by God and His Word? Or are we following the blueprints that come out of some humanist's mind? And, you know, the word reconstruct as opposed to construct, you know, kind of suggests that maybe there's a pattern that, you know, has been at various times in its proper order to some extent. And then we're trying to get it back to that or tear down something that's bad and then build something new. So I think the Christian view that we're supposed to tear down things that are that raise themselves up against the knowledge of God and then rebuild, reconstruct after the pattern that's revealed in the Word of God. That's what our duty is. And so if you think the Bible teaches you the way that the social institutions are supposed to be ordered and you want to see those things built in that way, whether it's just your own household, your own church, your own civil society, all of them together, that would be a type of reconstructing according to a pattern. And, you know, if God has given us a pattern, if He's revealed a pattern in His Word, and well, then why wouldn't we want to adopt that wisdom? And so do we think we can come up with a better blueprint than the one that God has revealed in His Word? And so I think that that's kind of the key thing I'd want to communicate about that. And I think, you know, unless you have something else you want to jump in first on, I'd love to be able to explain how the second table of the law, the fifth through 10th commandments, relate to kind of a dominion instruction to help us to think about how to order things well.
Oh, definitely. Go ahead.
All right. So when we talked before about the first table, we talked also about the individual a lot and seeing your soul kind of reordered according to the Word of God, having your affections set into proper place, having your choices be rightly ordered. The next thing is when we start to think about other institutions beyond the individual, for example, the household is the most basic institution beyond the individual. And the fifth commandment gives us the view of authority, honor your father and mother. And the historic Reformed view has been the fifth commandment represents also a general duty to honor legitimate authority in general. And you could find proof texts for that and support of that in the Westminster Standards, for example. But just when we think about this idea of honoring legitimate authority, there's a promise of long life there. Now, that doesn't mean in every particular case that it's like a mechanistic thing, but there's a general tendency. It's a proverbial connection to this idea that if you honor legitimate authority, it tends towards peace and prosperity and longer life. And so if you are a son who honors your parents, you're going to tend towards living longer and you're going to tend towards having a more prosperous condition. If you're a churchman who honors your legitimate elders, for example, in the church, is going to tend towards that as well. And the same with citizens that honor legitimate authority in the state. And so honoring those in authority properly. But the other thing is the fifth commandment teaches duties to those who are in authority. And it uses the language of parents because it's important that those in authority treat those under their authority with care and love. And so the language of father and mother encourages a greater desire to serve those in authority, but for those who are in authority also to serve those who are under their authority. There's a mutuality of care there. And so recognizing this, and I want to encourage everybody to think about the fact that the household is a place where there is significant authority. Husbands are to lead their wives, and they are the leader as the husband, but the wife is the queen of the estate, right? The husband's the king, and the wife is the queen, and they are master and mistress over the property. And they together serve as those who should govern others. And that includes teaching children and any, you know, servants or employees how to do things well in a way that honors the Lord on the estate. And as a business owner, for example, it's been my goal to be careful to seek to apply the word of God to my business. And I think that a lot of Christians fail to understand the way in which they need to see, you know, that their business is not a part of the state. At the HR department that teaches you, you know, how to figure out how to properly apply, you know, DEI initiatives or whatever, that's not how you want things to be run. You want things, you should think of more in terms of how could I get a chaplain to help with things. If you have multiple employees, you want an HR department that's more like a chaplaincy. And so this idea that you are concerned to see your own household put in good order, where you and your wife are ruling well together. She is helping you in the dominion work. She's made as your helpmeet, and you are to work together as king and queen of the estate to manage and build up the property. And you use that, and you're caring for your children, and they are heirs. And your goal is to fill them with knowledge that you might have wise heirs and have the joy of seeing your children walk in the truth. And that will also nourish your own heart. It will give you joy. It will increase your life to see your heirs be godly and wise is something that is life-giving. And so this idea that we are called to pass on a heritage of wealth, but also a heritage of wisdom. And so I want to encourage everyone to realize the level of authority they have in the household and to view their estate, their property, their businesses, any of that as a part of their household. And so the exercise of dominion, you work together in a household to build up that estate. Now, the sixth commandment has to do with the exercise of power, and the seventh commandment has to do with pleasure, and the eighth commandment has to do with money. And we're told throughout the scriptures there's this danger of worshiping the false gods of power, pleasure, and money. For example, the kings of Israel were warned, don't multiply horses and chariots. In other words, don't multiply imperial power. Don't multiply wives, so pleasure-seeking in terms of having, you know, being a womanizer. And also, don't be one who multiplies gold. Don't use your authority to extract wealth from your people kind of endlessly and turn, you know, the country into a tax farm. On the same token, we see in the qualifications of elders in the church that they're told that they need to not be, you know, bullies, which is about, you know, using power to domineer people. That they need to be not, you know, enslaved to wine, which is about not being enslaved to pleasure. And that they need to not be concerned with filthy gain, or in other words, covetous gain, greedy gain, gaining through dishonest means, or being a lover of money. And so it's the same things. It's the same warning as power, pleasure, and money, which are these false gods that are so tempting. And you see those emphasized throughout the book of Proverbs, for example. And so the sixth commandment gives us instruction about the proper use of power and the preservation of life. The seventh commandment about the proper use of pleasures in their moderate usage in their proper places. So for example, sex inside of marriage. And if you're, you know, gluttony and drunkenness are also typically put underneath the seventh commandment as categories of sin that are destructive to your reasonable government of yourself and the disorder of pleasure seeking as your God. Now, furthermore, with money, the eighth commandment is about, you know, not stealing, but instead, you know, the apostle Paul says, don't steal, instead work with your hands that you might have something to give others. So hospitality, generosity, these are things that are possible because of the fact that somebody's working. And so dominion includes the pursuit of money, not inordinately, but in the proper order. And so 6 days are meant for our encouragement of our growth of our state and so forth. And then we have one day that's devoted to the growth of knowledge. Now, we should be worshiping God morning and evening every day, and we should have the Sabbath for a day. It's a feast day of the word. But this idea that we have to do work with dominion, and we then build up resources and use it for good, that includes, you know, the tithe and free will giving to bless the church and to see the knowledge of God spread. So the ninth commandment talks about truth and reputation, right? We don't bear false witness against our neighbor, and that's about truth. And it's also about reputation, and reputation is very valuable, and doing work gives reputation. And so we see all of these things. The law of God is so wise that it covers all these things that teach us how to raise ourselves in honor and dominion and increase resources and usefulness. And the 10th commandment is about being content with God as the good and content with what he's given, as opposed to a discontent and envy and this sort of chasing down of things like pleasure, power, money, or reputation, your kind of honor, and trying to take authority through unjust ways. So contentedness prevents us from chasing after those other things and makes it so that we can give attention to what ought to be done. So often the reason we don't do useful things is because we fill our time with idleness, because we think that idleness will allow us to have pleasure, to have fun, to play games or whatever else. And the other thing that we tend to do with that idleness is we think we're going to go sit down and do something good. And then we find that our own thoughts are a little bit painful and we're discontent with that. And rather than thinking seriously to solve serious problems and looking to God for our joy and praying for him to relieve us of difficulty and give us strength to be able to push through, we can't sit in a room alone to think and pray. Instead, we need to just run out and find something to do to distract ourselves. So amusement, that we seek to fill our time with amusement. And that word amusement is about not thinking, right? A museum is a place where you go to muse. An amusement park is a place you go to not muse. A means not, right? And so that idea of not thinking, we need to avoid just amusing ourselves. Lawful recreations are things that encourage us to be refreshed and to be thankful to God and to be thoughtful about things and to be restored to go do good work. Unlawful recreations are things that distract us, waste our time. We consume our energy and strength chasing down other things. And that all harms dominion. And so these principles from the law of God teach us about dominion so that we can properly fill our place. And the household is the domain where the division of labor exists so that we can split up work and do things well. So I want to encourage men to view themselves as managers of their homes and their wives to view themselves as managers of the home, of the household, so they can together build the estate, spread wisdom, bring their children along in doing work. And some of the practical ways that I've done this, for example, in my own life, is I have children. I have 6 children, and 3 of them work in one of my businesses. Now, they started out just learning stuff and spending time kind of following me around, assisting with some stuff. We did homeschooling so we could make that happen. And spending time learning skills and then taking over real responsibilities. And so that process of finding out how to do that, that begins at home with helping mom, helping to deal with chores, fathers showing their children how to do things. And at first it takes more time, but pretty quickly the children become time savers. And if you work with your children, there's 3 things you do to build the relationship to cooperate together. You work together, you worship together, and you do recreation together to build relationship and enjoying what God has given. So those are serious practical ways that I really encourage everybody to think about the law of God and think about the relationships they need to order in their household to accomplish a lot of dominion together. So I got more that I could go through there, but I don't know how you're doing with time, Chris.
You have about, you have at least 15 minutes if you want to continue.
Great. So what I want to point out to people is also here, when we think about holiness, it's partly about relationship building and dominion, you know, who you work with. There's so much of life where we can spend our time with people that are, it's a waste, and we can give our energy and attention in a wasteful way, but building relationships that really matter are going to be defined for us by the covenant institutions. And so you think about the household, again, you're the master of the estate, your husband and your father. And that's where you as a man are in your household. And the wife is the mistress of the estate. She is the wife, and she is also the mother, right? And so those are offices, those are stations of authority. And so focus your time and your efforts toward your children. There's this prophecy about what John the Baptist would accomplish in Malachi, and it said that he would turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. This is a part of what reformation brings. It brings attention and care, love and attention between people inside of the family unit. And the family becomes the seminary for the church and the state. It's the place where little seedlings grow up to be fruitful trees that can lead in both of those. And so that's a part of how dominion gets exercised in these authority spheres, is by the development of children who receive the wisdom and they receive the resources from their parents. And if you think back, you remember in Genesis, Chris, you know, where we have the men that are called Nephilim, and they're also called mighty men. And these are the result of the sons of God taking the daughters of men as wives. And so these sons of God, these are from the city of God. These are believing men, and the daughters of men are the women who come from the excommunicated community, the apostate community, the city of man. And so marrying an ungodly spouse results in children that were not, they didn't have their affections properly trained and their obedience to God properly trained in childhood. And so they take all of this stuff that's built up by godly fathers, all the wealth and wisdom, and they deploy it for wickedness. And so godly fathers can give a large power base to their children to go further than we have gone in our own lives. And if you develop your children well, that can be one of the powerful ways that you can serve the church and honor the Lord, is by setting people up, having a multi-generational vision. We often are very short-sighted, and I think it's very important that what we consider is the long-term dominion work that can be done and how that works in terms of discipleship. So we have the dominion mandate to make the earth a habitat fit for man and then to fill the earth with the knowledge of God. We also have the great commission to disciple all the nations, to baptize the nations. And so the idea that every state ought to be covenanted in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ is something that's captured there in the Great Commission and is a part of the effect of when we govern ourselves well to honor the Lord, when we see households put into good order and functioning well to be depositories of wisdom and wealth across generations, and we see men who are fit for church office where there can be discipleship and there can be connections of relationship with other believers to do work with and have fellowship, real fellowship, where you're working together. And there's this idea of sharing together in the work of discipleship and dominion. And there's the communion of the saints where we have different gifts for the division of labor there. You can see these are building on each other to be able to accomplish more. And the state is a place where there's a restraining of evil and also a commending of what is good. And if that occurs in nations, where we've seen that occur in history in different nations, but if we can see that happen, where the individual, the household, the church, and the state are all put into good order, that makes a sphere of overlapping spheres where there's all this work together to exercise dominion effectively and to preserve the gains that have been attained to. And so that's the blessed social order. And if we think about the connection of those various institutions and we think about their different roles properly, that helps us to deal with that. But the place I want to emphasize, everybody wants to talk about how do we take over the state, and everybody wants to go kind of point fingers at the collapsing of the church. You have authority over yourself and over your household. Make those things excellent. You can't do that unless you know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit gives you faith to believe it and then causes you to yield fruit. And as you meditate on the law of God gives you strength when it's empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk the way you ought to walk. Now, you can't do that apart from the gospel. You have to know the saving news. And the law shows you your need of a savior, and it restrains your wickedness. But after you're saved, it is a light unto your feet. And it shows you the way that you should walk. And so I want people to understand that dominion, which is authority, is exercised when we use power lawfully. And the law of God shows us that blueprint of dominion. And in our own lives and in our households, we can be properly ordered in such a way that we act in a way that fits with the design that God has given, and it results in the increase of honor and reputation. It results in an increase of power. It tends towards the increase of property. It tends towards the increase of life. And it results in, when you raise up a child in the way that he should go, it allows you to have these things to pass them on, that they can go further than you did in honoring the Lord in this life. So I commend every father to take this to heart, that if they want to see the godly dominion and have a godly ambition there, to make sure to think about it in a multi-generational way and to rule their houses well.
Amen. And I don't want to take us on a rabbit trail, but I'm assuming from what you said, you do not agree with those, even amongst we who are Reformed, there exists some theologians, scholars, apologists who believe that the Nephilim were angelic beings that had relations with human women and gave birth to giants and so forth. You're from what you said, it seems that you disagree with that theory.
Yes, absolutely. So I would hold to what's typically called the Sethite view, which is when you look at, you know, Cain and Abel, right? Cain kills Abel, and so the godly line is killed there, but then Seth is given, he's appointed to replace Abel, and there's and Cain is cast out, and so you have the city of man and the city of God distinctly established there. And so this is the view that, for example, that Augustine explains in his City of God. And so he's talking about the distinctive society of the church. And I think that there's this desire to have the medieval and kind of, you know, kind of exciting view that, oh, look, here's demon spawn. You know, but the practical reality is that the emphasis is on the importance of having a godly seed. And that goes back to Genesis 3. There's this promise of the seed of the woman and the salvation coming. And so the church is established in Genesis 3. In Genesis 4, you have Cain being excommunicated. You have this idea in Genesis 5 of the men from the church marrying women from the city of man. And that's where that separate society had just been established, was Cain being pushed out. And you have this section talking about the descendants of Cain and you know, the various ways in which they do certain dominion work and develop arts, but the danger of the wrong affections of taking an ungodly woman as a bride. Think about how much the idea of the importance of godly marriage gets emphasized in the scriptures. How often are we warned about, you know, avoiding, you know, sexual interaction with demons? You know, this is not the emphasis of scripture. The emphasis of scripture is far more on those institutions. And I think this is a distraction that makes us misunderstand Genesis and its emphases. And the other thing is, frankly, it's not possible for procreation with demons to occur. And procreation with demons, you know, we have human bodies and reproduction is after our kind. And the idea that there are these demon spawn that come in, demons do not have physical bodies. They can have physical manifestations, but they don't have bodies with reproductive organs that are able to result in the formation of children. They are spirits, not spirits with bodies. And furthermore, they are designed distinctly to not be able to engage in marital relationships. And so we realize that this is a pure invention and is something that makes it so that we're distracted from the consistent line of scripture teaching us about godly children and this idea that there's a distinction of the two societies, the city of God, which is the church, and the city of man, which is the world. And so this is a warning about the attractions of the world. And I, you know, think about how much more practical that is and how much of a daily real problem that is. And the demons, the way they deal with things, is they bring in false doctrines and they influence the world and they influence the philosophers of the world and they influence false teachers in the church. And so the danger of demons is false prophets and false doctrine and lying miracles and following after that. That's the danger of demons. We ought not to have this fanciful view of demon spawn as the problem.
So in other words, I can sigh with relief that my grandmother was wrong when I was a kid when she referred to me as demon spawn.
Yes, she was incorrect, Chris.
Just using hyperbole. That was all she was doing. Well, maybe one of these days we could have a debate on the program with a person who advocates the actual the other side of the definition of the Nephilim and so on. That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And we are going to our final break right now, and there are people already waiting to have their questions answered by you. But if anybody wants to see if they could get in line before we run out of time, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com
That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvinio, founder of the ReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle All-In 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com.
or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, Grace Covenant Baptist Church of Flemington, New Jersey, has a new website, GCBC, for Grace Covenant Baptist Church, -NJ for New Jersey.org, GCBC-NJ.org. So please disregard the website that was announced in the commercial. Also, folks, I want to remind you that the fine folks at the Historical Bible Society, whose ads you hear every day on this show for years now, that organization has been founded by its president, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, a serious personal injury and medical malpractice attorney. If you're the victim of a serious injury or medical malpractice, no matter where you live in the United States, please call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit their website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. That's for the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. Please mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with David Reese for the final segment of our discussion on Dominion. And we have Coral in Shiner, Texas. And Coral says, don't you think a part of the problem of misunderstanding Dominion is that very often people, especially if they happen to be liberal or left-wing, jump to the conclusion that you're justifying things like the annihilation of buffalo from the continental American soil, which nearly happened over a century ago, or in our modern day, things like companies dumping toxic waste into rivers, streams, and lakes? Aren't we supposed to have a godly stewardship over this world that in which we lived, that God has blessed us with?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So Dominion, a part of Dominion would be the requirement that we not do things that are just wasteful, and that we not do things that are destructive of human life. For example, the law of God has things like if you dig a pit and don't cover it and somebody falls into it, you're responsible for those harms as though you had done it intentionally. It has things in it that teach, for example, that if you were just not taking proper care with a rooftop balcony, for example, and you don't have a parapet around the edge, you don't have a railing essentially, and somebody falls off, and you've made it a space available for people, that you have left it unnecessarily cared for. Now, at the same time, if I were to pour water, if I were to pour poison into a stream, knowing that it was going to go down and that people could be harmed by it, that's sort of the same sort of thing. It's a digging a pit and it's leaving it uncovered. And so rather than a system of a kind of massive administrative state that tries to regulate a bunch of stuff, what we need are penalties associated with harms, where a person who takes action that's harmful to others gets punished for that action, and their punishment repays the people they harm. And so we have a mixture of that with the administrative state in our time, and also with the system of the adversarial system for torts, where, harms can be pursued. But sometimes the administrative state sets up regulations that make it so that there's sort of a protection against liability if harms are caused and somebody, is following what the administrative state says. And so the law of God would teach us the principle that rather than a regulator defining that, that what we need to do is to deal with the principle of reasonable and foreseeable harms. And so that would be sort of the biblical case law system. In addition to that, the destruction of animals and everything, one of the great problems that exists in terms of property destruction is the problem of the commons. And so if you have property that's owned commonly, or in other words, it's socialist in its ownership, where you have some sort of means of production or whatever owned by the state, there's a tendency of waste. The great polluters in history have been states. And so state-owned land gets polluted, and states are the great polluters of land. Private property is far more carefully taken care of than publicly owned land or state-owned land, if you look at the history of things. And so what I would encourage is for people to think about, are there the scriptures establish a free market and they have a limited state. So are there ways for the adversarial system and for private ownership to be dealt with as the means of protecting land. And I would suggest that we look around and see that privately owned land is far better dealt with and better preserved, and that we should think about things like the buffalo as animals to be ruled. And also that we often think about species wrongly. Rather than thinking about the biblical system of kinds, we think about things as every minor variation is its own independent thing, and extinctions are the loss of something forever. I would suggest that the Bible gives us categories that are types of things, and those things have a bunch of traits. They're sort of like Swiss Army knives of beings that you could have. You know, a horse could be bred into a zebra or whatever. A chihuahua can be bred into a Great Dane. There are these limits of kinds, and so we don't lose species in that way. Kinds are preserved across time and they can be bred back into things, but there are sort of hard limits on the edges of how much change can occur inside of a species. And so that's the system that we have, and we should not try to be overly protective of minute details of things as though every kind of little variation is some sort of thing that has to be infinitely preserved and protected forever. So that's what I would say about the environment and how the Bible seems to provide solutions for it, as opposed to the administrative liberal state.
RJ in White Plains, New York, wants to know how our eschatology affects our view of dominion. And if you have time, can you offer any kind of critique of the moral majority movement that seemed to have correct intentions in this area, but perhaps because it was largely dispensationalist, it failed?
Yeah, so I think eschatology, you look at premillennialism, you're going to tend to think that we're going to lose soon. And most premillennials in the United States, at least, are dispensational and typically believe that the formation of Israel as a state is a time marker for the return of Jesus. And so you'll typically say, like, sort of like, oh, any second now, Jesus is going to go back any second. And so as a result, you have very short-term strategies for the deployment of capital, resources, and time. And what I would encourage is that we don't know when Jesus is coming back, so work hard and have long-term planning. And if God interrupts your long-term plans because Jesus takes you, pretty quickly here, then, you know, at least you know that you were deploying things, trying to make stuff happen, and the Lord will not find you idle. And so I would advise long-term multi-generational planning. I obviously am not dispensational and I'm not premillennial, but I would say with the amillennial view, you know, if you have a perspective that we're kind of in God's Vietnam here and we're just going to fight around for a long time and not really win, and then Jesus will come back and then we win, then I would advise you to have long-term plans and say, well, at least in some zones, there could be some reformation. There could be some real significant progress. So have long-term planning, knowing that, you know, you're going to seek to help to advance other people and leave it to the Lord to bless it. And then if you're postmillennial, obviously you're encouraged to say, hey, we win, so let's be victorious. And we're going to take a while. So we're going to work on stuff hard here. So I certainly think that postmillennialism helps people to have a dominion attitude that's better. But I think you can, if you believe the law of God teaches you the good life, then I would encourage you, regardless of your eschatological view, to seek to have a dominion view that's multi-generational in its view of faithfulness. As far as the moral majority is concerned, the moral majority, I think, did not seek to apply God's law in its proper way in terms of looking at the general equity of the civil law and seeking to apply it, but instead tried to limit itself in a way where it didn't have a consistent way of seeking to look at the law of God as a system. And I think chapter 19 of the Westminster Confession gives us an excellent way of viewing it. So I would encourage people to look at that for more detail.
By the way, I want to quickly plug my friend Calvin Beisner, who I've interviewed on this program. This is specifically involving the woman.
He's awesome.
Yes, he is. This is specifically involving the question on stewardship. He is running the founder and national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. If you type in his last name in the search engine on ironsharpandsironradio.com, Beisner, B as in boy, E-I-S-N-E-R, you will get all my interviews with him. I also want to remind you, the website for the Puritan Reformed Church of Phoenix, Arizona is puritanphx.com, puritanphx.com. And the website for the company where my guest is the CEO, Armored Republic, you can find more about them at armoredrepublic.com, armoredrepublic.com. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.